Harper Audio presents Shoot, Don't Shoot by J.A. Jantz. Performed by Hilary Huber. Prologue. Lying hot and sleepless in the narrow upper bunk, 9-year-old Cece Grijalva knew her mother was leaving long before she left, long before the outside door opened and closed. When it did, Cece pulled back a corner of the sheet that served as a curtain and peered out at the weed-infested yard that separated their dingy duplex from the one next door. Moments later, Serena Grijalva's pilfered grocery cart, stacked high with dirty laundry, rattled past the window toward the potholed gravel track that passed for a street inside the dreary complex known as Esperanza Village. Hope Village. Even a little kid could tell that the name was a bad joke. Hopeless was more like it. Cece dropped back on her thin mattress and lay there hot and miserable. Back home in Bisbee, where they used to live, or down in Douglas with Grandma Grijalva, the weather would be cooler now. But not here in Phoenix. Peoria, really. The way her mother had talked about it, Phoenix was one huge magical city, a wonderful place. Cece had discovered that it was actually a bunch of places. Phoenix, Glendale, Peoria, Sun City. She could never tell where one stopped and another began, although the kids who had always lived there seemed to know, and they made fun of Cece when she didn't. Phoenix was hot. And the cooler didn't work. Even when it was running, it didn't do much good, and it smelled awful, like something green and moldy. Cece hated that smell. She lay on the bed, tossing restlessly. The knowledge that her mother was gone kept Cece awake, while her little brother, Pablo, snored peacefully in the bottom bunk. Out in the living room, she heard the steady drone of the unwatched television set. Just before she left, Serena had turned on the TV. She always did that. Cece knew the blaring television set was a trick. Her mother thought if the kids woke up in the night and heard a mumble of voices from the other room, they'd think Serena was out there watching a program, when in reality, she'd probably been gone for hours, leaving the two children alone. Again. Finally, careful not to disturb her brother, the sleepless child pulled her rosary beads out from under her pillow and climbed down from the top bunk. Clutching the beads close to her chest, she tiptoed out into the living room and turned off the TV. There was no lamp in the sparsely furnished room, and Cece didn't bother to switch on the overhead light. With the room illuminated by the streetlight on the corner outside, she made her way to the sweat-stained armchair one of Serena's pickup driving boyfriends had dragged home from a pile of unsold refuse after a Sun City estate sale. Moving the chair close enough to the window to see out, Cecilia curled up inside it. This was where she sat and waited when her mother went out late at night. This was where she sat and worried. And even though she tried to stay awake, she sometimes fell into a fitful sleep. Once Serena had come in and found her there, but usually Cece managed to rouse herself. Serena's cart clattering back through the yard would give the child enough warning to turn the TV set back on and scurry into her bed. Cece sniffed the air. Serena had been gone for some time, but the heavy scent of her perfume and hairspray still lingered in the room. Cece shook her head. Even though the grocery cart had been full of dirty clothes when Serena left the house, Cece wasn't fooled. The laundry was only an excuse, almost as much of a trick as the blaring television set. If washing clothes was all her mother had in mind, she could have used the laundry room right there in the complex. For that one, the one next to the manager's apartment, she wouldn't have needed hairspray or perfume. Serena always said that the machines in the Esperanza Village laundry room weren't any good. She refused to use them, claiming that the clothes never came clean enough and that the dryers were too slow. That's why she always took the laundry 4 blocks down the street to the We Do You Do washateria. Cece may have only been 9, but she understood that that story wasn't the truth either. not the whole truth. The real answer lay in the business next door to the laundry, a place called the Roundhouse Bar and Grill. Sometimes on weekends, Cece and Pablo would go along with Serena to do the wash. Usually, the two children would be left on their own in the laundry while their mother went next door to get some change. That's what she always told them, that she was going for change, even though Pablo had pointed out the change machine right there beside the soap machine. Once Serena disappeared into the bar, she'd be gone for a long time, for hours. When she came back, her hair would smell of cigarette smoke, and her breath would smell like beer. By then, Cece and Pablo would already have removed the clothes from the dryers, folded them, and loaded them back into the waiting cart.